Successive governments in this country, both conservative and liberal, since Pierre Trudeau, have all embraced full-scale mass immigration. But no prime minister has done it quite like Justin Trudeau. In 2015, just as he was taking office as prime minister, he told the New York Times that Canada had no core identity and that we would be the first post-national state. Well, every day since then, he has been working hard to make that a reality. Canada's population is now one of the fastest growing populations in the world, driven almost entirely by immigration. Through both temporary foreign workers, international students, and permanent residents, millions of people are coming to this country every single year, faster than we can assimilate them and faster than our country can possibly handle and absorb. Well, Canadians have had enough. Polls are now showing that an overwhelming majority of both immigrants and Canadians want immigration levels to be cut. Immigration restrictionism is now one of the very few issues in this country in which a majority of Canadians all agree on. A truly remarkable turn of events over the past few years. Meanwhile, the leader of the official opposition, Pierre Poilievre, is completely silent. He avoids any conversation or question about immigration as if it was the plague. The truth is, we are dealing with a problem that we have never had to face in this country before, and very few political commentators are more committed to speaking out against mass immigration than my next guest, Riley Donovan. You can read his work over at the Dominion Review by following the link to the description in this video. Well, we are now joined by Riley Donovan, the editor and founder of the Dominion Review. Riley, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So the big news still in regards to immigration is Justin Trudeau's abrupt concession last week regarding temporary immigration into this country, saying that Canada has taken in more than we're able to absorb at the moment. What do you think is behind this? Do you think that Trudeau has had some genuine epiphany on immigration, or is he perhaps trying to drag Poilievre into a debate over immigration to perhaps change his fortunes in the polls?
I think that Trudeau is very cognizant of the fact that the views the political elite in Canada hold on immigration have diverged significantly from those of the Canadian public. There is a poll out by Abacus Polling released in late November, which shows that 67% of Canadians want lower levels of immigration. That includes 68% of the native-born population, as well as 62% of immigrants themselves, which I think does a lot to dismantle the myth that this is entirely driven by xenophobia. Further, in that poll, you see that every single demographic, male and female, regional, as well as political party membership, every demographic breakdown opposes the current levels of immigration which are being implemented by the Trudeau government. And I think that he has made this concession on temporary immigration, international students and temporary foreign workers, definitely not out of any sort of internal epiphany, but rather because he has recognized this divergence. He is declining in the polls in every single province outside of Quebec. And he is forced at this point to make some sort of concession.
And, well, his opponent, Pierre Poilievre, seems to be so afraid to talk about immigration that he'd rather talk about simply anything else. I think it was one of your articles I read where you talk about how the fact that there is such a popular consensus now in favor of reducing immigration, it's one of the only issues in Canada that so many people actually agree on. Given that, the line that we hear from Conservative Party fanatics, diehard supporters, is that Poilievre simply just cannot get off of the messaging trail. If he ventures away from his talking points, axing the tax, building more homes, if he says anything about immigration, it will only hurt him in the polls. It will only cause him more trouble. What do you think of this tactic? Do you think that it makes sense to avoid this issue altogether?
Pierre Poilievre is afraid of losing votes in the ethnic enclaves outside of Toronto, Vancouver, and in Montreal. This is the strategy that the Conservative Party has pursued for most of the 21st century and several decades leading up to it. This is an incorrect strategy from a pure polling perspective, because the majority of immigrants do actually want lower immigration for a variety of pragmatic reasons: the housing crisis, It's a simple issue of supply and demand is driven by the fact that 1.2 million newcomers entered Canada in 2023. The overwhelmed infrastructure, the crowded hospitals, these things are becoming tangible and palpable in the everyday experience of both foreign-born Canadians and native-born Canadians. This strategy by the Conservative Party is pure cowardice. At the end of the day, they are more concerned with making a very small amount of ethnic lobby organizations angry and in breaking the political correctness norms which are enforced by the media. And they would rather avoid this issue entirely, despite the fact that 82% of Conservative voters, the highest out of any political party outside of the People's Party, want lower migration levels.
It seems very strange to me that the Conservatives are not only just avoiding this topic, but when the question does get asked to them, which is a rarity, I would expect the Canadian legacy media press to be pounding this question to them every single time because it's forcing them to respond to their base. Every time they get asked the question, Riley, they end up not just avoiding it. They end up basically sounding as though they want to go even further than the Liberals sometimes. We've heard Trudeau calling, it's easy to mix them up when you talk about immigration. We've heard Poilievre call for direct flights to Amritsar, for example. We've heard several conservative MPs say that actually they want life to be more easier for international students. They want to be able to bring more international students to Canada, despite the fact that we know the numbers are against this. And we also have provincial premiers who call themselves conservatives who are basically immigration extremists, like Tim Houston in Nova Scotia. You've written about Tim Houston's immigration stance, but for Canadians who are not quite aware of what's going on in Nova Scotia, talk to us a little more about what Tim Houston is trying to do here, because I couldn't believe it.
Sure. Well, many Canadians will by now be aware of the Sentry Initiative, which is a national lobby organization, which I have uncovered is funded to a significant degree by banks and corporations, which wants to grow the national population to 100 million. By 2100. Now that would mean growing Toronto alone to 33.5 million people. That would mean tripling the population of Vancouver, tripling the population of Montreal. That would mean creating a mega region in the prairies that they call Calgary Edmonton, which would be 15.5 million people. But what people are maybe less aware of is that a number of provincial premiers essentially have their own miniature versions of the Sentry Initiative. Daniel Smith in Alberta, very strong professed conservative who is very willing to break taboos on certain issues like gender ideology, at the same time has expressed a favorable view of growing Alberta's population to 10 million. And you have a similar situation in Saskatchewan, and you have perhaps the most dramatic example in Nova Scotia, where the premier, Tim Houston, wants to double Nova Scotia's population from 1 million to 2 million by the year 2060.
It's incredible. And correct me if I'm wrong, but he actually wanted to go to 3 million and he had to pull himself back?
Yeah. No, he is such a proud member of Canada's cult of growth, population growth. It is a very simple way to achieve an illusion of economic success, simply growing the gross population of a region. He initially wanted to go to 3 million, and after some internal discussions with his advisors, he decided on the conservative approach of growing Nova Scotia's population to 2 million. Of course, we are seeing in the urban centers of Nova Scotia a massive spike in rents. We are seeing homelessness increase as the provincial migration programs, the nominee programs overseen by Tim Houston's government, are increasing year by year. And for those who are not aware, Canada's fertility rate is very low. And so Tim Houston, his strategy and that of the Sentry Initiative, et cetera, is to essentially grow Canada's population solely through immigration. And that would be the case in Nova Scotia as well.
And let's get into this a little more, because this is something I simply just have no clue as to why this is taking place in Canada. It seems that in other countries are starting to wake up to this reality that they have to start having more children. They have to take their birth rate seriously. But no one in this country, no one at a political level, at a political leadership level, I think, has ever had the conversation about fertility rates in Canada at a serious level. I don't think they've ever sat down and said, what's our policy going to be to increase birth rates in Canada? Instead, it's just a sole reliance on immigration. There seems to be no interest in this birth rate question, and yet it's disastrously below replacement level. What do you think is behind this? Why is that conversation not being had at all?
Well, if you think about it, their argument is that Canada needs large-scale immigration to make up for the fact that we have a aging demographic caused by low fertility rates for some decades now. Their argument is beset by the single biggest issue, which is that their own immigration policy does not accomplish this. There is an entire stream in the family reunification category, which is for grandparents. Many people in their 50s come from India or China to retire here. And there is, among the temporary immigration subset, there is a massive overrepresentation of single males. If their argument was carried through to its logical conclusion, we would see almost exclusively young families being brought to Canada. But for the sake of argument, let's take it at face value that we need a large influx of newcomers to make up for the fact that we are not having enough kids in Canada. Now, this is predicated on the assumption that an aging population is a disaster. An aging population is a problem, but it is something that we can deal with internally. Their solution to bring in endless amounts of immigrants per year is essentially a Ponzi scheme where over time, those immigrants, when they move to an industrialized, Western, wealthy country like Canada, will come to adopt the same lifestyle that we have here, which leads to lower fertility rates. Their solution at that point, once the fertility rates of immigrants drop, would be, you guessed it, add more immigrants. This would increase ad nauseum and would not solve the fundamental problem, which is that Canadians here at the moment are not having enough kids to reach the 2.1 level, which is the replacement rate. However, another major issue with the current immigration policy is that it is in and of itself causing the fertility rates to be artificially lowered because the housing crisis, which is driven entirely by immigration, is a major reason. If you talk to young people, people in their 20s, even in their 30s, they will say, look, where am I going to raise my kids? Am I going to raise them in a shoebox apartment in Toronto for $3,000 a month? People want a detached house to raise their kids. That's an ideal environment. But the immigration-driven housing crisis is making that impossible. So the argument is beset with contradictions, just like every argument for the unprecedented policy of mass immigration.
It's just an endless cycle, it sounds like, and it's a cycle that eventually results in a country that has simply no founding culture, no founding national unity to call itself, because eventually as this goes along, it'll just become basically all new immigrants, and there's no discussion about Canadian culture, Canadian values. And I've noticed this, Riley. Whenever people on social media, like yourself and like myself, sometimes we speak up about Canadian culture and Canadian values and the fact that many of those values are being eroded through mass immigration, we're immediately called racists. We're immediately attacked, described as the worst people in the country for daring to care about our founding values and principles as a country, which are slipping away. Why do you think it is that so few people are willing to actually have this conversation or willing to speak up for what they know to be right? And why is it that it's now totally normal to attack anyone for daring to speak about values and culture?
Well, Canada at the moment is 23% foreign born. That's nearly one in four Canadians. As of the year 2036, this will increase to 30%. One in three Canadians will come from somewhere else. We are increasingly becoming a country where the population is made up of people who come from other countries. This is absolutely antithetical to the preservation of French Canadian and Anglo-Canadian culture in Canada. And most Canadians, I think, know this, and they feel it internally, but they are filled with all sorts of psychological barriers which prevent them from vocalizing this opinion in public in a conversation. So, for example, you will often hear someone sort of start to question our policy of immigration, and they will say, look, I am concerned about the housing crisis. I'm concerned about overwhelmed healthcare system and rents going up and things like that. Or even I'm concerned about the growth of ethnic enclaves where English or French is not spoken. And then they will say something curious. They will say, well, at the end of the day, we're all immigrants, though, so I don't quite feel comfortable questioning this policy. And of course, this is compounded by the fact that the media, universities, and the political class themselves are all thoroughly ensconced in this set of norms, political correctness norms, which essentially lead Canadians to believe that any criticism of our immigration policy or even any sense of nationalism is equated with a hatred of the other, a suspicion of foreigners, and ultimately is a sort of parochial, regressive, close-minded thing of the past.
Where do you think this all began? I mean, there are you've done your research on this, and I think a lot of people point to Pierre Trudeau's official multiculturalism and also to Brian Mulroney, for example, who was an ardent supporter of not just mass immigration, but the Century Initiative itself. Where do you think this all began in our country?
It began ultimately with Pierre Trudeau. He implemented multiculturalism in 1971. It's coming on 50 years, and the present-day population of Canada largely treats this as a state religion. They view this as our central ethos, and they are proud that we are distinguished from the rest of the Western world by elevating all sorts of different cultures within our polity. However, it is less known that in implementing official multiculturalism in 1971, Pierre Trudeau, he actually rejected the findings of a royal commission, which was in the late 60s, 1967, the Royal Commission on Biculturalism and Bilingualism, which found that the Canadian nation is ultimately derived and founded by Anglo-Canadian and French-Canadian culture. The commission did certainly acknowledge the contributions of later waves of immigrants, including Italians and Eastern Europeans, and particularly Ukrainians and so on. However, Pierre Trudeau, much like his son later on, ultimately believed that any expression of nationalism would ultimately lead to some sort of violence or oppression against minorities within the nation. And he even said that the very notion of a nation state is absurd. And he wanted to essentially defuse both French Canadian and Anglo-Canadian identity at the same time by dismantling the national culture. This legacy was certainly carried forth by Justin Trudeau later on, and he is well known for his quote that Canada is a post-national state with no core identity. These two men have done an incredible degree of damage to Canada, not only overtly in their immigration policies and their support for multiculturalism, but in essentially leading to a situation in which Canadians feel that any expression of their own culture is a form of xenophobia.
Do you think that there is any merit to the point that, you know, the longer this goes on, the more that Canadians have to accept this destruction of their culture, this watching themselves basically become slowly become more and more of a minority in their own major cities? Do you think that there's going to be a backlash eventually if this keeps going at the pace it is right now?
I hope that when the backlash comes, that it will be purely political. What needs to happen is that Canadians need to contact their member of parliament. They need to contact their national parties. And they need to let it be known that they are not consenting to this unprecedented policy of mass immigration and to the policy of official multiculturalism, which is downgrading Anglo-Canadian and French-Canadian culture within our country. And the fact is that every political party, the Greens, the NDP, the Conservatives, the Liberals, they are not representing their constituents. A majority of the membership of every political party is opposed to the current levels of immigration and would like to see them reduced. Now, the divergence between the political class and the people in the country, the only way to bridge that gap and to allow the population to exert its own will once more is for the political class to be scared of a political backlash against their current positions, which are at odds with the people. I hope that the backlash will come in that form.
Yeah, I am concerned. You know, I can feel there start to be a change in attitude and in national attitude toward this policy. I understand that a lot of people are frustrated. People who I speak to, they all say the exact same thing. And I'm sure it's similar with you, Riley, people you speak to about this. People are fed up with this. And my concern is that a backlash will be far worse than what the political class is expecting. And I don't think that's what anyone wants to see, because ultimately we are a great country and we don't want to have this major turn for the worse. Now, what do you think about the possibility that Pierre Poilievre will actually come out of his shell if he wins and address this immigration issue head on? Do you take the word from Conservative Party supporters that he will do it once he wins? He just won't speak about it, though?
His position on immigration has evolved. Over the past year, starting in the spring, I was consistently calling him out, as well as a number of his MPs, for essentially supporting the Trudeau policy on immigration. I called out Tim Uppel in particular for having pledged in a speech in Winnipeg to abolish the English and French testing requirement for new immigrants. I called out Scott Aitchison and a variety of other MPs and Pierre Poilievre himself. I posted their videos on Twitter, and it gained a huge circulation. And there was a lot of anger I could see in the comment section of conservatives saying, look, we thought that the Conservative Party is the policy of common sense on immigration. And that's just what we implicitly assumed. However, we're seeing that there is essentially no difference between the Conservative Party and the Liberal position on immigration. However, recently I have seen that he has pledged to enact some sort of mathematical formula, which will essentially tie population growth in Canada to the housing stock and the healthcare capacity. Now, if he were to follow through with that, that would be a great improvement on our present immigration policy. It would mean probably a massive reduction in newcomers and a cut in both the temporary foreign worker streams, international students, and also permanent residents. I believe that he will follow through with this to an extent. I think that he is likely to reduce permanent resident levels to something like they were under Harper. The problem is that the immigration issue in Canada, it has gotten so bad that we need serious and deep reform. The international student program needs serious reform beyond the present cap that the Trudeau government has put in, as well as the foreign worker stream. And permanent residency levels were already too high for Canada's assimilation capacity under Harper. They were 250,000, roughly, depending on the year. And so currently they're double that, but they were already too high. And you'd mentioned Mulroney earlier. They were actually already too high under Mulroney. He had tripled immigration levels. And the most significant thing that he did was he departed from our previous policy, which was called a tap on, tap off policy. at certain years when our economy needed it, we would have a greater influx of newcomers. In other years, we would shut the spigot off, so to speak. Mulroney, he basically scrapped that policy, and he made the continuous inflow of immigrants into Canada not based on economic circumstances. He made that a norm, and that became the consensus going forward. He was actually the first prime minister to raise immigration levels during an economic downturn. And ever since then, with slight variations, immigration has increased. And you saw during Harper's years that he would occasionally throw some red meat to the base. He would say, oh, well, I'm opposed to the wearing of kneecaps in a citizenship ceremony. Or he would say a comment about old stock Canadians that was sort of designed to ignite some sort of controversy. However, the levels continue to increase. Our housing prices continue to go up. Healthcare was beginning to be overwhelmed even in throughout the early years of the 21st century. And the capacity for assimilation of immigrants was already exceeded at that time. We were seeing large growths in ethnic enclaves, both Chinese and Indian suburbs outside of the major cities, even in the Harper years. And the problem with what Polyev is proposing now is twofold. It's that it's not extensive enough. That's the first problem. And the second is that he's not emphasizing it enough. He should be going out in his rallies, and the very first few lines should be devoted to, hey, have you guys heard about Trudeau's immigration levels? They're 500,000 a year. And I heard that there's this group of hoity-toity individuals called the Century Initiative that wants to triple Canada's population to 100 million. He almost never emphasizes it in his rallies, and he should.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Riley, this has been a great conversation. I've really enjoyed reading your work over the past year or so. Where can Canadians find your work on social media and on your website?
Sure. Well, I'm the founder, as you said, of Dominion Review. You can find all of my work on dominionreview.ca. On the right-hand sidebar, you can see the Twitter for the publication and my own personal Twitter, as well as my Patreon. So everything is on dominionreview.ca.
Amazing. And a link to Dominion Review you can find in the description of this video. Riley, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.